This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, we're live. What's up, my brothers? This is the 75th episode of the Before the Train Wreck series. I'm joined tonight by my good friend, Paul from Apex Mindset. What's up, brother?
What's up? What's going on, Rich?
Yeah, man. This is bound to be a milestone of a broadcast because, I covered this earlier in the week and you hit me up in my DMs. You're like, hey man, let's go deep on the rabbit hole on this one. You sent me the longest show notes I've ever read. They were so long I couldn't even distill it for StreamYard because they only have like 5,000 characters, but I figured it out. But this will be a good show for you guys tonight. Couple things before we get into it. I'm going to give you the too long didn't read version. I also got to do a little bit of housekeeping on what the join button is here, but the too long didn't read version is we get jealous for very, very different reasons. Okay. Guys get jealous of women. Let me start from the top again. Jealousy has nothing to do with love, breach of trust, not getting an STD, all those things, right? You know, you've heard those narratives from both men and women. Men get jealous for far different reasons than what women get jealous for. Men really only get jealous because of paternity. Women have 100% assurance that they are the paternal mother of the child when they get pregnant. They know that. But we also know that men throughout history have been cucked. And if you don't know what cuckoldry is, I'll explain it for a second. It's where you raise a child that is not yours. And when I was finishing up my book, I had to do some research on a chapter where I was talking about instances of cuckoldry, and there's not a lot of data that's available because by nature you have to be deceptive to cuck the father into raising another man's child. So there wasn't a lot of forthcoming data that came out of it. The best I could come up with is somewhere between on the low end 10% of fathers get cuckolded, and on the high end it can be as high as 30%, and that's inclusive of married couples too. So don't think that getting married is like a barrier or insulator insurance policy against getting cucked. But that's why guys get jealous, because they want to make sure that no other dude's Johnson goes anywhere near his woman, because the whole point of that relationship in his mind is at some point they're going to be making babies, and he wants to make sure that they're his, because that's the big selling point to fatherhood, is passing on your DNA. Every time you watch a movie, doesn't matter what it is, you know, the olden days, Game of Thrones, Vikings, whatever, it's always about the son has my name, right? But women get jealous for totally different reasons, don't they, Paul? Women get jealous for the reason, essentially, because they don't want to lose access to resources, provisioning, and attention. There's lots and lots of cases throughout history where women have been involved in harem-type environments. I mentioned in a video earlier this week, there's a fellow by the name of Ishmael the Bloodthirsty, who was about 300 or 400 years ago, I think it was, in the 1700s. I'm not exactly sure the exact date, but he ran a harem of well over 800 women, sired over 1,000 children. He had a system down in place where he would basically put the women out to pasture after the age of 30, and he would just bring new ones in. He would just keep making babies with all of them. And there's never been an issue with high-value guys running multiple women in their lives, simply because they have unlimited access to resources, so they don't care, right? As long as they have a place in the pecking order, and they have access to provisioning, protection, and resources, it's not a big deal. Read a book like Alpha God by Hector Garcia, and he talks about how a lot of guys that ran harems would even put eunuchs in place to guard his women. You know, if you guys don't know what eunuchs are, Johnson's cut off. There's nothing that's going to happen. There's no threat whatsoever. But Yeah, there's lots of historical instances of this. When you read into Evo Psych and you dive into all this, jealousy is an interesting component of it. We've all felt it. I felt it. I'm sure you felt it, Paul. We've been.
Oh yeah.
You know, we felt jealous for women that we've been with, and there's women that we've been with that have also been very jealous of us at the same time. So, you know, with that being said, that's kind of like the let's fly up to 30,000 feet and too long didn't read. That's what the differences are between jealousy. Paul's got some very good notes here. I see some super chats coming in. I'm going to deal with those in a second. Paul's got some in-depth notes here. So we're going to go very, very deep down the rabbit hole in this one. Before we do, I just want to mention that join button over by the subscribe button, because I don't spend a lot of time explaining how it works. I know there's a video there if you click it, but it lets you chat in the live broadcast. I do live broadcasts minimum once, sometimes twice a week, depending on the week. Sometimes it's playing to win. Sometimes I do a cold hard truth broadcast, but it gets you into the live chat. It also gets you access to present topic suggestions to me on the community tab. That's like $4.99, you know, for the month. So if that's of interest to you, grab it. You can also support the channel by, you know, getting into merch and stuff like this. It's all in, you know, the pinned area below. But Paul, I'm going to shut up because right. I know you got some good material here. What do you want to start
all right. with, bro? Let's start with the misconceptions about male jealousy. I think that's really important because this is why we're not talking about it. It's because men are essentially shamed for having these feelings or being told they're insecure. Now, the insecure card is a card that beta males and women like to pull to shame men to getting them to do things. But I don't think it's purely because of that. I think it's because of female solipsism. It's hard for them to see another experience outside of their own. And the way that females experience jealousy, it's so much different than a man's from the evolutionary side of it. So, but first of all, jealousy is an instinct. This is something that's instinctual, that's designed to protect us. But, and I'll get into reasons why, it's on overdrive right now, and that instinct can actually harm us now in the global sexual marketplace.
Let me just hop in for a sec and just explain now to you guys. So if you spread your arms out edge to edge, okay, I'm going to go full screen here because you can get a little more edge to edge, like your full wingspan, okay? And you pluck a hair out of your head. If you don't have hair on your head, pluck a hair out of your beard. Hold that little hair up on one end. And that one little hair is modern history. And that's not like the last 10 years or 100 years. I'm talking the last 10,000 years, like since agriculture, that we've been living in a modern, you know, society, modern, you know, modern in the sense that modern today, you know, where it's agriculture-based sort of productivity, which has changed a lot of things. You guys can dive into Evo Psych, you know, for the details on that. But it's only recently, and I can't even get like a hair because it's not even like a pinprick. We're talking like a molecule in that same distance because we've been on this planet for millions of years. You know, we've evolved for millions of years. And jealousy is a really important component of the dynamics between men and women. But today we got like a serious situation going on with social media is basically since 2008. Have you seen that Netflix special? I think it's called The Social Dilemma.
Yeah, I watched that recently. And I knew that stuff was going on before the documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. But I mean, like we're talking like 2008, it's like 12 years. It's not that much time where we've seen unlimited access to unlimited partners on both sides. And women, it's really doing a number on women, but I'll let you carry on. I just wanted to kind of frame like the historical component of it because it's that significant.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, women, you know, their jealousy from an instinctual perspective comes from their ability or their confidence to keep a man. When the baby comes out of their body, they know the baby's theirs. Yeah. So there's not that deception or that cuckoldry that they're concerned about. So a woman is directly, her jealousy comes, you know, is directly tied into her level of security or insecurity. If she believes she can keep that man, whether it's the alpha man and his presence and security and what he provides or the beta resource provider, either one, her ability to keep him is directly related to how attractive she thinks she is and how confident she is in that. So for women, jealousy is directly tied into their confidence. And they're more concerned about guys doing behaviors that would involve them discarding them. Because a woman being discarded by a man in our history, meant death for her offspring and her. So it's an existential threat for her to be discarded. Sexual infidelity is often accepted, and even in harems, either accepted or even encouraged if that woman thinks or believes with that she'll be kept around, essentially, and not lose that guy. And so that's where female jealousy comes from. Well, we're in a gynocentric social order now, so women think that, and guys that support whatever women think without questioning it, think that, well, if female jealousy is right, if female jealousy is related to insecurity, well, then male jealousy must be related into insecurity too. So if you have any feelings of jealousy, anything at all, any behaviors, any red flags that pop in your head, it's because you're insecure. Mm-hmm. That is not true at all. So I ask anybody.
Not only is it not true, but it's a load of crap. I mean, there's a lot of people that are really singing those sound bites these days. I've even seen a lot of academics starting this. I think you made a note about eroticizing your jealousy.
Yes.
You know, you might have heard that sound bite, but for men, it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't.
No. And so for guys, we're jealous because we want to protect our paternity. And that's a real threat because we don't know really. I mean, we do now with DNA tests, but for most of our evolutionary history, we didn't know if that baby came out, if it was ours or not. So that
we didn't
was
even have safe, reliable birth control until what? 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Right. Something like that. 1950s.
Yeah. So for the most part, we've operated without birth control.
Yep. And so guys getting cucked and ending up with someone else's kid, meaning that their genes don't move on to the next generation, is a huge existential threat for a man. It makes a man feel violent, and it makes a man want to solve a problem real quick. Ask yourself if that silverback gorilla that beats up an opposing gorilla sends him on his way to protect his prized women, his little tribe, to make sure that gorilla doesn't mate with his women. Is that gorilla insecure? Are we going to have a psychological session with him and talk about his male insecurities? Of course not. That gorilla is as alpha as any gorilla could be, protecting his territory. And so for men, jealousy and jealous feelings, both retroactive, meaning looking at our past, as well as current opportunities, that is a protective streak. And I had to ask this question because I've had these feelings and I don't consider myself not a confident person. And I've noted that there's dudes, some of the most alpha guys I know have had that almost like abusive jealous streak, some of them. Mm-hmm. Some guys who are real alpha, like putting their girl in line kind of stuff, which in a way that's not healthy, I don't recommend. And I'm like, wait a second. Is that guy insecure? Is he
weak? Let me ask you a question. At what point would you say that it's unhealthy?
I think that if you're having to, my opinion, if I have to create drama in my relationship to keep her in line rather than frame, I consider that unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And so to take it to another level, I'm using frame control in order to, influence her behavior, which means she voluntarily does the mate protecting for me. I don't have to mate protect for her. If I have to mate protect for her, there's no relationship in my opinion. But that takes a level of frame control, and that takes a level of game in a relationship that most guys don't have. So that's something that has to be developed. Back to it's not a weakness, in men. And so that's a big thing. So men don't want to talk about it. And so what ends up happening is a lot of maladaptive, or we could say bad or unproductive behaviors that come out of this. The most unproductive one that we see for most men is they ignore it. It's plausible deniability. So they do one of two things. They latch on to blue-pilled fantasies that we call, the blue-pilled fantasy stuff. She loves me. We said the magic words at the wedding. Whatever. She bought me this cool thing for my birthday. So, when she goes out with Kevin in sales, I got nothing to worry about. Or when she was getting, I'm trying to censor myself. When she was at the party in college and, went on a ride on a choo-choo train. I don't think I have to worry about that because she loves me. You know what I mean? And so these are things that, they guys latch onto that. and they try to ignore present behaviors. They ignore red flags because they think that makes them confident. And hey, then they get.
Here's a super chat that'll kind of segue in with what you're talking about here. So Lestat, and I've got a couple more here. I got to throw up in a minute. So it says jealousy is beta. Sign that as a man, you don't have control of your emotions. And then of course it's, you know, the typical soundbite. She's never yours. It's just your time. So
this is why I'm glad we're doing the show, man. This is why I'm glad, because that's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Why is that incorrect? Tell them why.
Yeah, because jealousy is a protective instinct that all males have, whether it's beta or alpha. Your reaction to that instinct could be beta or alpha, but the instinct in and of itself to want to protect your paternity is an instinct. Now, because most alpha guys in our history were cutting off dudes' limbs if they came near their wives or concubines. I don't think that guy's beta, you know what I mean? I don't think some of these guys that I know who just like, oh, this guy's making a move on my girl and he beats the crap out of that guy. That guy's not beta, man. That's a mistake. But see right there, like that's right, what I call, so there's something called it's an existential despair. It's a giving up. And so what happens to most beta men is that they know they're not her best, or they assume that somewhere deep down inside. They know she has endless opportunities, so they just don't want to face that. So they pretend like, oh, well, it's cool. She can do whatever she wants. I trust her. They do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, guys who get a little bit more red pill, they have more truth and knowledge. So like Stat here knows more, I'm sure, than like the blue pill guy. I'm sure he's pretty knowledgeable. But what happens is he hasn't gotten rid of that. We haven't gotten rid of that existential despair. Mm-hmm. That thought that this chick is just another chick and we're not likely her best and not likely going to be, and that is right there. That is jealousy in action. So like, oh, it's just your turn. That is jealousy in action, dude. Why is it just your turn? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe you have such good frame control and you're her apex alpha that's the only turn she takes from now until she's dead. But it's that lack of confidence in that, and those feelings of jealousy of those potential opportunities she has or opportunities in the past, that makes us say that. Now, that's a very valuable saying, actually. So I'm not trying to, you know what I mean? Because we get guys out of that framework.
Well, it's a nice tight soundbite that works. Like, I get it.
We don't want guys to get one-itis. So this is why we say stuff like that. And it can be helpful and therapeutic to guys. So I'm not like slamming on it, but guys latch on. It's a nihilistic feeling. It's still existential despair. It's a feeling that it is always only temporary, because my frame control, my game, my abilities will never be good enough. There's always somebody better, and there probably was somebody better in her past. And so that's what happens. Now, why does that happen? The reason that happens is because our jealousy instinct, which is not beta or alpha, it's just an instinct, is on overdrive right now. A woman's notch count, she's under 30, between 20 and 50 sexual partners. A woman's notch count 70 years ago, she would have been unmarriable. Unmarriable. She had slept with 20 people in her hometown. Nobody would marry that chick, right? Why is that? Because that's a sign of her inability to pair bond and her likelihood to cuck that person. This is why guys are not attracted to women with high notch counts, not when they find that out about them. Of course, we're attracted to TNA more than anything else, but we find out about their sexual past or that history, especially if we're invested, we get this feeling deep down inside, like we want to start smashing somebody's face into a wall until we feel better. The more alpha you are, the stronger that feeling is. So why is that? Because that is a signal that this person has an inability, regardless of our abilities as an alpha men, she has an inability to pair bond and she's likely to cuck us.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. Cause I mean, like any guy that's the top shelf man, it's the top of his game, won't sit back if his woman is starting to indicate behavior that would be indicative of going outside of that relationship. Right. Cause you know, he's made an investment into that. So he's got his spidey senses tingling. So to sit back and say, oh, if you don't have control of your emotions, then you're a beta and she's never yours. Right. It's just your turn. Like that's just the oversight on it. But I mean, like, we could spend 3 hours talking about the evolution of human beings, and it's really, really fascinating. Like, it's one of the things that I've found more interesting. I mean, the red pill is really interesting, but I think the evolution of humans to me is just much more fascinating. Because I mean, like, when you start to understand the correlation between men and women as sapiens and the relationship that we have to different primates, and all the primate cousins that we have are very, very similar, but they're also very different in the way that they behave sexually, you know, with their mating strategies. Like Paul pointed out earlier that a silverback gorilla, it basically, you know, you could call its behavior jealous for beating off the advances of other males, you know, to the female harem. The silverback gorilla has to do that. Yeah, but a silverback gorilla has to do that because there's this notion called sperm competition, and sperm has to compete to get to the egg. And there's a reason why somewhere between 10% and 30% of children that are born to men that are being cucked, because women are promiscuous and they often have sex with more than one guy around the same time that they're an estrus. And sometimes they just pick the beta with the financial resources to raise the child over the guy that fathered the child. But for silverback gorillas, the sperm competition happens outside of the reproductive tract because they got tiny little nuts. They're something like, I think they're like 1/8 the size of a human nut. And their penis is tiny as well. It's like half the size of your pinky finger. You'd think it would be huge because they're big silverback gorillas and just, but they're not. So they don't have to unload buckets when they're trying to impregnate the females. All the competition happens outside of the reproductive tract because it's a bigger, badder ass dude that gets to beat the crap out of the other males. They get nowhere near, so paternity's insured that way. Other primates, on the other hand, they don't care. They're just promiscuous as fuck, but they have enormous nuts. They unload buckets, and they have very, how can I put this? Because, you know, we're on YouTube.
Lots of swimmers that can get to the...
Yeah, they have a specialized shape that work in a certain way. But anyway, I mean, it's not beta, and it's not a sign that you don't have control of your emotions. You can let it get the best of you, of course. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk about here tonight a little bit as well. And you don't want to let it get the best of you, of course. Yeah.
And that's the thing. What would be beta is your reactions. And I'll talk about that too, because we're actually...
Hang on a second. Let me just grab these other super chats real quick, as they come in. So we got one here from Adam, just nothing there, but thank you. Mike, the technician, says exactly. Do men get jealous when male friend breaches trust, betrays you, lets you down? No, you get upset. You detach, not jealous. Totally different. Yep. Rich, ditch your Audi and go Porsche.
No.
Thank you for that enlightening piece of advice. If I go anywhere, it's going to be a lot faster than a Porsche, trust me. But thank you. There's one more here. Let me just grab this real quick. You said, can jealousy lead to violence, or is it considered psychopathic behavior at that point? No, it's not. It can lead to violence, and it could be considered psychopathic behavior depending on how you behave. But as Paul was stating earlier, it's not abnormal to feel jealousy or rage or anger if the woman that you've invested in goes outside of the relationship and tries to cuck you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and actually on that, so violence was how, so even with chimpanzees, which have bigger nuts and a lot more swimmers, and they're more promiscuous than gorillas, still do protect their paternity and still use violence in their tribes to get that hierarchy. And if opposing chimpanzee comes in, they hold him down and rip his nuts off. When they take over other chimpanzee tribes, they often kill and do infanticide on the firstborns. Guess what? Human beings actually do the same thing throughout history. How often did we kill the firstborns? Kill all the males, right? And so this is violence was how, even in our polyamorous past, our little hunter-gatherer tribes, it was the most dominant men that decided who made it with who, you know, and the lower men got the leftovers. Yeah. So these hierarchies were always determined through violence and through alpha men. And those alpha men were executing that violence through the jealousy instinct, which is why it's crazy to say that the instinct is beta. It's not. Now, here's what happens though in our society now. I can't just beat somebody up until I feel better and not go to jail, right? Mm-hmm. So my jealous feelings, if I execute those feelings in a certain way, I am almost forced by society to behave in a beta manner where I come down on the girl, I might mate protect, I might throw a GPS tracker on her car, I might, you know what I mean? I might talk to that guy or something, or, you know, whatever, start following her around. These are like, because the betas and the tribes couldn't beat the alphas up, right? So what did they resort to? These other behaviors. Well, because of the way society's structured, now if we react to jealousy in an instinctual way, well, we can't beat them up. So what are we left with? Beta behaviors. So this is where we have to be careful on our behaviors, that we don't default to, because I can't beat somebody up or whatever, use violence to control paternity. I have to, you know, look at my behavior so they don't show up as beta, and that they don't send beta signals to the woman and to everybody else around me, you know? So that's the thing that we have to really worry about. But
it can lead to violence for some guys too. Like, you know, the point he's making as well is like, I mean, you've seen some people throughout, I mean, especially the last few years, you know, in the media, Nicholas Cruz, there's been a few other guys, who's that other dork that was making videos on YouTube about being so handsome, but he couldn't get any girls sitting in his BMW. What the hell was his name?
I don't know.
Anyway,
pay attention and know.
You guys have probably seen them, but they ended in violence, right? Alex Manissian rented a van, drove over people. Nicholas Cruz, you know, you know, nuts on a school. So that's a product of jealousy. And yes, to some degree, it's guys that can control their emotions, but that's just the, that's the social media or even the mainstream media narrative. But when you actually dig into it a little bit deeper, and I did some of this research when I was putting together a chapter in the book on this, but I mean, Nicholas Cruz was raised by a single, well, not only a single mom. I mean, he was born to a single mom that couldn't raise him. So he was given up to adoption to a family. The father died a few years after he was adopted by the family. So he was essentially raised by a single mom. And then she also adopted his other brother from a different father, same mother, and also raised another kid, you know, in a single mother household. Kids like this don't do that well because they never learn how to deal with rejection. They don't have a strong masculine male role model in the household. So when they feel anger, when they feel resentment, they basically throw what's a female hissy fit, and they just have a spaz. And, you know, you see the outcome of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Elliot Rodger.
There it is, Elliot Rodger. Yeah, and betas can be violent too. You know what I mean? It's violence is not isolated towards, we say, alpha or beta behavior, but you know,
and that's just placeholders. Like when we're saying alpha beta, it's okay. You know, the higher value a guy is obviously sitting there, and the beta is more of the provider on the low end of the scale, right?
Right. But when we've all been in situations of abundance, you know, where I've been in the situation, I'm in a situation right now of abundance. I have no shortage of women I could go out and be with, get with, whatever, but I would have a tendency to have maybe jealous feelings over someone I'm invested more in, or, you know, so you might have a jealous streak, or those feelings crop up, those primal feelings over your LTR, even if you have a harem of women, you know, so it's not isolated to it. Abundance doesn't necessarily solve it. Guys with one-itis or who had a bad breakup, I've been there. I had, you know, years ago, bad breakup with a narcissist. I went through a ridiculous amount of notches in 6 months. That's embarrassing to mention on the internet. And I still had those jealous feelings about her going out with somebody else potentially, because it's protecting your paternity is where the instinct comes from. Not, if I just had,
and that's the odd thing is there's no paternity for most guys in those cases. It's just, they associate her going outside of the relationship that they had with a breach of paternity, even though it's got nothing to do with it.
Right. It's instinctual. It's not like logical.
95% of the time it's got nothing to do with, nothing to do with attorney. You never had kids with her. You probably didn't even intend to have kids with her in the near future. But unusually, that's just how we behave. Like, it's hardwired into our DNA.
Just like I'm hardwired to like fat booties. You know what I mean? A good hip to waist ratio.
A good hip to waist ratio is going to draw your eyes in that direction. It always will. There's nothing you can do about it.
Because the fertility signal. That's why. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so we're attracted to women because of fertility signals. And those signals, same reason they're attracted to us. It's totally instinctual, just like this jealousy thing. But here's where it's important, though, is that in the global sexual marketplace, that instinct is being overstimulated, both by, we're in the most promiscuous time of our history, in my opinion. I don't know if there's, I'm not like, historian, so there maybe there's pockets, but even in our polyamorous tribes, there might be 30 to 60 people in the tribe. You might be dealing with 5 men she slept with out of that whole mess. Mm-hmm. Now we're dealing with 20, 30, 40, 50 notches by the time the chick hits 30. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. That hits nobody's marryable. Not that we're saying we should get married, but nobody's mateable long term, you know, if we're going by instinct, no one. And so it throws us really off. And then never in our history have we had so much access to sexual opportunities, both as men and women, that mm-hmm. completely throws this instinct out of loop. We're not
all on a handheld device. You can just download an app now and start
swiping, you know, and so never in our history have we had to deal with this. So we're not evolved to handle it yet. Now, the good news is, though, is that because of all this stuff, it's forcing us to evolve. And if we want to in our own lives, we can use it and use these things to actually help us. You know, we're not looking for just to get along and my beta marriage and she takes care of the kids and I'm going to clean the gutters. That's a divorce, right? Like, that's not what we want anymore. So we want to like self-actualize. We want to have these create like amazing experiences with women in our lives. This is what we want, or it's not even worth an LTR. And so with that, we can overcome this stuff with what we're looking for. But that means we have to take our game, our SMV, and our understanding of frame to next level. Like, we can't afford just to sit back and be lazy about it or handle these jealousy instincts just by instinct and in an uncontrolled fashion where we ignore red flags and, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. And she's going out for girls' night. Nah, 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 you know what I mean? And just allow ourselves to get taken for a ride, screwed over, not maintain frame, you know, these things that guys are doing, or become nihilistic and become, you know, get in this thing where we just spin plates and we don't allow any real connection with women because, hey, they're just going to cuck us anyway. They've already slept with, you know, 40 people and, you know, one or two or five of those guys was a little bit taller, a little bit bigger dong, a little bit more muscles than me. So forget it. What's the point? You know what I mean?
Let's talk about a healthy way to, because I want to give you guys actionable advice, right? I mean, like when I started broadcasting the show, I mean, the whole point was to help you guys avoid making a train wreck out of your life. And I didn't say it at the start of this show, but this is the only show on the internet that will show you how to avoid making a train wreck out of your life. And I give you some actionable advice here. So let's use the example that you provided where she goes out with the girls for girls' night out. Mm-hmm. So she's got all dressed up. She's got her little black dress on. She says, "Hey, Paul, I'm going out with the girls tonight." Let's assume that you're in a conventional monogamous relationship. "Hey, Paul, I'm going out with the girls."
I want my answer is, who are you bringing home to me?
Right, right. That's why I had to say that to make sure we speak to the mass level of understanding here. So, you know, she says, "Hey, Paul, I'm going out with the girls tonight, and I'll see you when I see you." Right. So, conventionally, you might look at that and say, "Well, that's unusual. Why is she going out with the girls?" And your firmware, like your hardwiring, your DNA, every part of it's looking at her going, okay, she's getting dressed up. She spent 3 hours getting ready. She put on the high heels, the little back dress, the Spanx, the push-up bra. She did her hair. She curled it. She put on the makeup. She's getting ready to market herself, is what your DNA is starting to say. So the little, you know, electrons start firing and they're like, and they start talking to you. They go, okay, buddy, you might have to start going to mate guarding. You might have to start going to jealousy mode, right? Yeah. The point that the guy made earlier about jealousy being beta is the conventional way that most guys would get jealous. Where are you going? Who are you going out with? Where are you going to be? What time are you going to get back? Well, call me when you get there, right? Or maybe he'll start calling her phone and blowing up her phone when she gets there. That's kind of the beta way, you know, to deal with it. The way that the conventional alpha would deal with it would, he would just basically look at the scenario and say, women with husbands, women with boyfriends, whatever, don't go out for girls' nights out. And that's it. It's just a firm boundary. You know, it's as straightforward as that. The smarter guy would be attentive to her cycle. And of course, know when she's an estrus. Because if she's going out when she's ovulating, that's when women cheat the most. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't cheat when it's Netflix and chill night and they're on their period. That's not when they do it. So the smarter guy pays attention to it that way. So that's the difference between the two approaches, right? If you want some actionable advice in that area. Do you want do you want to add to that, or do you want to go to number four with the existential despair?
Yeah. So, you know, I do want to add to that a little bit. So it's really important that I'm not advocating here that we eradicate our jealousy instinct because it's overstimulated. So that's really important. There's a mythology out there that, of course, claims that jealousy is a beta trait, and that in order to be somehow woke or higher level or a better man, you have to eradicate that instinct to the point where some guys eroticize it. I mean, they're dropping off their women to other dudes' houses, you know,
and writing blogs about it.
And writing blogs about it. I couldn't believe that crap when I looked at that. I was like, what? Yeah. What is this guy? You know, and that is somebody who is taking an instinct that's designed to protect you. And it's, even if it's not about paternity, she can't really have that love for you. And I say love, it's kind of a container word, but that awe and that respect and be in your frame and have everything that you would want in an LTR. She is not going to give that to you if she doesn't see you as her best and has her apex alpha. If she is making, this is a really important distinction, if she is making the decision to sleep with another dude, in that moment, whether she's right or wrong, objectively, subjectively in her head, she thinks that guy has something you don't. Guys, we can sleep with somebody that is half as hot and she fell asleep, you know, drunk next to a dumpster, and we're going to sleep with her because we're men. We just spread seed. That's our, you know, that's our strategy. Women, though, are hypergamous. They're always looking to level up. If they see you as her apex, I mean, there's certain circumstances like that are outliers, like revenge cheating or circumstantial cheating when a guy is gone for a long time, stuff like that. But generally speaking, if she is with somebody and she decides to sleep with someone else instead of the guy she's with, it's a statement that that guy has something better or something that her partner doesn't have. So that is a direct threat to your alpha frame as a man, a direct threat to who you are. And that is not, that is a recipe for destruction and failure in a relationship, which is why when we talk about harem stuff or polygamist, which is the male, you know, driven version of it, I'm not one who ascribes to letting being okay with your woman sleeping with other men, because there's the way that they select is different than the way that men select, the way that's we correct. Make, you know, and so that's very destructive for them to do that. And so we want to use our jealousy instincts to our advantage, but we have to have control over it by recognizing we're on overdrive. Like, and our tendency is going to want to do avoidance behaviors to not face it, or to fall into nihilism because it's so despairing. We can now get an existential despair. Okay. Or to behave like a convict and go, you know, throw a guy through a window or something at the bar she went to go to girls' night out at, or something crazy that would end you up in jail. You know, we can't do those things. We have to do something much different than that. And that's man will have that control. What's that? Yeah.
Here's a comment from one of the channel members. He said, interesting topic on the beta moves when women step out of frame and men are looked at as weak for confronting them. They're only looked at as weak if she wakes up in the morning and looks at this guy as he's not my best choice. Mm-hmm. If a man stands up and says, a woman with a husband doesn't go out for girls' night out, and she stays there, it's fine. You know, she's only going to call him weak or controlling or abusive if she doesn't see him as his best choice. If she sees him as his best choice, can be, you know what, you're right. I shouldn't be doing that. That's not what married women do. I'm going to stay here with you tonight, or we're going to go out and do something else together. Now, if she goes out on her own, if you don't want to look weak, fine. She goes out on her own. You set the boundary. She stepped outside of that boundary. Have her shit in bags on the front porch with the locks changed when she gets back. Or go out yourself and do whatever you want. You know, it's entirely up to you. But
disappear for a weekend.
Yeah, or disappear for a weekend and soft next to her for a bit, whatever. But yeah, it's a good point to kind of, you know, kind of hit on. I want to keep it moving along because I got to do another private show after this around 9:30. But we had some other points here. Do you want to move into the next one?
Yeah. So back to talking, I think, what was next? Existential despair. So
existential despair. Yeah.
Yeah. So existential despair is essentially these jealousy instincts are on overdrive so much that they can cause us to literally give up an internal level. And so if she slept with, let's say, 35 people and she's, you know, 30 years old, that's pretty normal nowadays. Right. Most guys will look at that and go, one or two of those dudes. This is what we're getting into, also called retroactive jealousy. So there's two types of jealousy. One is current jealousy, which is your mate protecting or concerned over current behavior. And then the other one is retroactive.
By that you mean you're jealous of an ex that she had?
Of past experiences, yeah, okay. Correct. Yeah, now, that's really powerful. Shit right there. Yep. And so retroactive is a really powerful form of jealousy because it was once again designed to protect us. Back in history, if a woman was with 35 guys, don't have a baby with her because that baby come out a different color and different DNA, right? I mean, that was just, you know, like, hey, you know, but nowadays it's normal. And so it really hits parts of that instinct and makes us really have feelings of like, I'm going to throw her down off a cliff. And the reason is because we know, whether we are red pill guys and have that red Rolos work and understand this stuff, or whether we are just a dude, every guy knows if she experienced somebody better in her past or had a more impacting experience in her past, she'll never really fully be invested in you in the present. And that's that Chris Rock bit, you know, he did where, you know, where he was like, you know, you weren't her first choice.
Oh, hey, fellas, you know? You want to know why? You know, the number one reason why your woman's pissed off at you? You weren't her first choice.
That's right. You know, and so, but, and everyone laughed because it's true.
It's true. That's why the
guys
audience, yeah.
Know that. So, guys, instead, I would suggest you pay attention to those jealousy instincts. And if not,
what's that from? That's from Never Scared, right?
I think so. Yeah
the stand up. So. Yeah, the stand up's called Never Scared. Check it out. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so you know, you pay attention to these instincts, and you're not gonna. The mistake would be to start grilling her for details of her past. That's not really going to help you because she's not gonna tell you the truth. And when she does, if she does tell you the truth, it's gonna be framed in a way that is also inaccurate. So either she's mad that you're questioning it, so she's gonna make it sound more than what it is to see how much she can piss you off and then to test you, or possibly she's going to try to downplay. Usually it's to downplay it, or she's going to give you partial details. It just never really works. But you look at her current behavior, and the things you get about her history are just data points. But when you're looking at her current behavior, if she's not behaving like you're her best, and this is too particularly after the honeymoon phase, then you can make that assumption that she's been widowed somewhere along the line. And then do not LTR this person. Do not invest in a long-term relationship. You as a man, if you're working on your SMV and if you provide excellent experiences for people in your life, don't settle for someone who doesn't see you as her best option. And so that's where the jealousy instinct can be productive. Make sure you're not just attacking. Like, so guys will go, I mean, the red flag chapter you have is very valuable. They need to read it. But some guys will take it a little too far where they're like, they're looking for reasons because of that existential despair. Deep down inside, they think it'll never work. They'll never maintain frame, get out of it. You know what I mean? And so they're just looking for a reason to destroy it. That's not good. But what you should be looking for are two things: ability to pair bond, that capability, and that ability and that demonstration of her being in your frame. Those are the two things that you're looking for. I don't care how many people she's been with. I don't care how they were 7 foot tall basketball player billionaires, and she was with the whole team. If she's in your frame and she's capable, I don't know that I would like that, but if she's in your frame and she's capable, you're fine. Because what that means is you're creating better, more impacting peak experiences for her than these other people did. It's not a black and white SMV thing. Well, I'm 5'9" and that dude was 6 feet tall. I might as well cash it in. She just my turn. You know what I mean? It's not really how it works. It's the totality of who you are as a person and the experiences you create. And so that's part of the solution too. You create these massive experiences for her. When I'm talking in the bedroom as well as out of the bedroom, where she is overwhelmed with neurochemicals. I don't care if you're 5'3" with a 3-inch packing monster downstairs in your pants. It doesn't matter. Like, you'll keep her frame. She'll see you as the best dude she's ever been with. Really, because it's subjective. You know what I mean? So that's the good news. It's not nihilistic, but you do need, you know, if some girl needs a guy who is African American and 6'3", she's never going to see me then as her first choice, even if she's a plate. So I'm never LTRing that person. You know what I mean? She has to be able to see me for whatever I am and who I am as being that first choice based on these experiences that we're having together. If she can see me there, that's LTR material. If she can't, you need to discount that as LTR. But men get caught up, unfortunately, and she's pretty and she smells nice and I really want her. And they don't think about, is she capable of desiring you the way that you need to be desired to have a good relationship with somebody, to make it worth your commitment? You know what I mean?
Good points.
Yeah.
Just real quick, guys, in the banner there, if you want to get that chapter on red flags Paul mentioned, you just go to entrepreneursandcars.com/red-flags. You'll get on my email list. The book is done. We're just working on the cover and getting the foreword sorted out, but it should be out very, very soon. But yeah, grab that. It's a free chapter.
Yep. And so this all boils down to really frame control too. If you have frame, she's not going out.
Explain what frame control is, because there's always new guys that come in and like, well, what's frame control? I don't understand.
Yeah. No, so that's good. So Rollo wrote his first book. He talks about frame is everything. When I read that, he put words to what I had been thinking and I sort of understanding for a long time. It was like 2016. I think I read that one. I think I got it from your channel, actually. And so I was like, oh, that's exactly right. That makes
well, there's
so
a reason
sense.
Why it's number one on the list. Frame is everything, right?
Yeah, because it is everything. Yeah. This is how you overcome this jealousy thing. This is how you overcome. She has a sordid history or whatever. This is how you overcome that, provided she's capable once again.
If you have good frame control, when she tries to pull the crap, like, I'm going to go out with my girls for a girls' night out, and you're like, no, you've got good frame control if she just complies, right?
Right.
If she starts pushing back and calls you abusive or, you know, you're too controlling or blah, 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 you've got no control of frame.
Yeah. So frame is how she sees, this is my explanation of it, you know, but more, I'm not going to recite Rollo's work or anything. You guys can look that up yourselves, but frame is how she sees the world, essentially. So there's a reality out there that's objective. And then there's the frame, if you could imagine looking through, let's say, a window, okay, the view that she sees of that objective reality in that world, put in context of her subjective impressions. And that includes how she sees what's good or what's bad, her values, her morals, behaviors, all of those things. Now, you have a frame or a way that you see the world. She has her own little frame. When you come together, she will start, because you're the man and you're the leader, and she has desire for you as the alpha male, she will start to alter the way she sees the world and alter her behaviors in order to match yours. And so that's what frame is. And what frame control is, that you're controlling the lens that she sees the world in, which means that she's not going to, if you're controlling the lens which she sees the world in, she's not going to get dolled up to signal to other guys on a girl's night out, for example. If she's going out with the girls, it's fine, but it's in a context of being with friends and actually having girl time, not going to a club or a bar where she's going to get picked up on. You know what I'm saying?
Or if you're running a harem, she's going out to pick up more girls to bring them home for the night.
She's sourcing for you. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's, and so that's another thing. Like, well, you know, does she source girls for you, bring them home and enjoy that with you or not? Well, that's up to how you see the world, how you frame it, and how she adopts that frame. Now, that doesn't mean that she's always going to agree with everything you say and say, yes, sir. Let me hear your logical red-pilled explanation. Explain to me a hypergamy again so I can agree with it. Like, no. See, these guys are like super nerd and they don't, like, they're on the spectrum. They don't understand. It's not how it works.
Really good frame control. She doesn't even know she's being gamed.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely, 100%. She just gravitates towards your viewpoint. And even when she'll, like, maybe will disagree or challenge something, just kind of use mastery, or you just sort of, you make a point with a statement of fact, you don't explain anything, you demonstrate, and then you'll notice over time her behavior or her point of view matches what you're saying. I'll give an example, so a common thought process for most women nowadays, especially depending on where they're coming from in the West and bar culture, party girls, would be when you break up with a guy, you go out and get some new guy. Okay. Like, the faster you can do that, the better. Right. And so that's the advice when someone breaks up. And, you know, that would have been the advice that my LTR would have given a girl that I know who recently had a breakup. And so I've expressed
the lyrics, the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else or something like that.
Yeah. That's like the saying, right? And so I'm trying to like censor because anyway, that's but okay, yeah, so
that way.
Right. And so my LTR didn't necessarily think, like, it was like, oh, you know, pretty much I call it go get some D girl mindset. Oh girl, you just need to go get some D. And so I make fun of that all the time. And how disgusting that is, right? Mm-hmm. And how that ruins, I've talked about in statements of fact, not explanation, how that makes a girl a basic hoe, you know? That makes a girl, you know, yeah. So she's going to go run out and do that. Then she's going to be happy in a nice marriage with a pick a white fence when she's ready to settle down. I don't think so, you know? She had a situation where she had heard about some Tinder dates getting smashed by a couple guys. And I went, yeah, you know, but she's just, and I was joking around. I said, yeah, she's just going through her whole phase, but you know, she'll be able to settle down later, right? With a white picket fence, right? She'll be okay, right? And my chick's like, oh, no way, like that's so gross. Anyway, so over time, even though she kind of disagreed, it was kind of like, most women will disagree. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, you go out and have sexual experiences. You're learning about yourself. You're self-discovering, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They'll say that. Mm-hmm. And then you just sort of drop these little one-liners here and there. You laugh it off like you're stupid. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you have a frame of, well, you know, I wouldn't take a girl who can't pair bond. I'll tell you what, girls who do a lot of that stuff, demonstrating that they can't. So what do you think the advice was to this friend recently who had a breakup? It wasn't go get some D girl. It was, you know what, you need to take your time and grieve the relationship and give yourself time. Don't rush into anything. It was the advice I would have given her. Okay. So here we have.
Only more women would listen to that.
Well, right. But see, she's in my frame. So what happens is her view of the world, she might disagree with the point when we maybe made it up when it first came up, like when we were dating or something, right? But mm-hmm. that translate that over time, she's seeing that world the way that I present. That's frame control. And if you have it, she's not going to do things like, you know, test your boundaries and do things that would signal your jealousy instinct. In fact, she'll go out of her way to make sure she's not signaling those things. You know,
let me just grab these super chats here that came in. I see. Because with StreamYard, I can see chat from other platforms. If you guys want to interact, I'm going to drop a link here. Just click this link. Head over to YouTube if you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Just come on over to YouTube and watch it over there. It helps me out a ton. Join the channel and hit us up in the conversation there. Mr. Watson here says, thanks for the generous super chat. He says, spin those plates, fellas. One of the best defenses we got at this point. To add to that... That's a simplistic way to handle it. Just spin plates. It's okay. It's a good defense. But if you don't have innate understanding of what jealousy is, what attraction, desire, hypergamy, solipsism, and all that sort of stuff is all wrapped up into a crazy little ball that we live in. you're going to struggle at some point. You know, you can spin 50, 60, 100, 300 plates if you want. And at some point, you're going to catch the feels and get bad one-itis if you don't understand the way things work. So that's fine. That'll probably serve you better than it won't. But go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole. There's a lot more to unpack. Anon says, at Apex, once you become high value with a lot of girls, a lot of girls will see you as their first best option. Women love opportunistically. Don't rush into a long-term relationship.
Yep.
Simple point. Makes sense. Let me grab this one here from Lucas. Yeah. LTR left me. According to her, I was too controlling. Her appearance, social media, being too friendly. Also, for questioning her past, does that mean I was not her best or just too abusive? What Good that question. Likely means is the way that you probably handled it. And I want you to feedback after I do.
Yep.
You look like a younger guy, which probably means you didn't handle it quite right, because a lot of younger guys don't understand the way that these dynamics work. I'll use the social media component because I've written about this in my book. I've made videos on it. So he's calling her an LTR, which I'm assuming you guys are in a relationship. What that really looks like is, so the male sexual strategy is unlimited access to unlimited women. The female sexual strategy is open hypergamy. They're basically looking for the best that they can get. So let's assume that they're on the ice. They're playing hockey. If you're on the ice, you're in the game. You're out there to score a goal, right? If she's asked you to abandon your sexual strategy and to stop seeing other women, you've agreed to be monogamous, fine. She needs to stop selling herself on social media. So if she's pitching pictures of herself daily, multiple times a day, looking for the attention and validation and likes of other guys, she's still on the ice. She's still playing the game. All you have to do is exert frame control. And that's what, you know, Paul's talking about. It's like, okay, Jill, we'll just call her Jill. Jill, girls with boyfriends don't post daily pictures on social media, sexy, provocative pictures, looking, you know, of their butthole, of their boobs, whatever. It's unbelievable what you see out there now in social media. It's completely acceptable. Right. You know, divorced women of three are running OnlyFans, making 50 grand a month, for crying out loud. But, you know, a woman in a relationship, like, if you want me to abandon my sexual strategy, this nonsense stops. It's not like, oh, you have to stop it, or I want you to tone it down a little bit. It's like, this nonsense stops. And if she carries on, then all you do is you carry on with your sexual strategy, keep banging more chicks then. It's as simple as that. And you have to be okay with that. Like, you have to be okay with the repercussions of exerting frame control on that relationship. I want to hear what your thoughts are on that example.
Yeah. So I was saying, always love your standards more than any chick.
Okay. 100%.
Always love your standards more than any chick. So it's first of all, if she's doing those behaviors, she's not, if her behaviors are out of line with a relationship, you don't LTR her in the first place.
Yeah, so sorry. So he's talking about controlling her appearance, social media, and her being too friendly. Right. So her appearance would mean like getting dressed up slutty, you know, posting slutty pictures on social media, being too friendly to other guys, right? Like, you have to control that.
Yeah, of course. Now, in my way of controlling that is, I'll say before any relationships, I don't deal with basic hoes who are showing their ass every day on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just say something like that and while you're having drinks or whatever, you know, I wouldn't deal with that in a relationship.
No.
Hamster. You start watching their social media get cleaned up, or you don't, and you never LTR them. It's pretty simple, because she has to demonstrate a capability. If she can't stop those behaviors prior to the relationship to try to earn you and earn your commitment, she's not demonstrating capability. You don't do that then. This is why we look at red flags and why we set standards.
Really good question. I like how he framed it as, you know, does that mean I was not her best or just too abusive? No, it just means that you're a man. It just means that you're a man, and that you had the where do we stand talk probably, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
She might not have been capable, and you LTR'd her anyway, which was a mistake on your part.
Now, was she 21 in her party years and wanted to ride the carousel, right? I mean, you know, what were you doing?
Bad idea. Now, here's the other thing is you could be actually overboard, because remember, your jealousy instincts are on overdrive. So if you're doing, because here's a big threat for a woman is her existential threat is being discarded, right? That's where her jealousy instinct comes from. But not only that, that's where she would break off with her sexual best. She would break it up with an alpha if she thinks she can't, her anxiety is too high, and she thinks that she can't keep this guy and it's destroying her life. All right. So you may have, I don't know the details. The other side of this is your behavior could have been so controlling that she was literally tearing her apart, tearing her life up. And if she saw you as alpha, that is so incredibly damaging. When, despite the fact that these girls shouldn't be doing a lot of things they're doing today, they're not getting good guidance. The entire world is telling them to be on this carousel. And so they're doing what they think they need to do to be happy. It takes them telepiphany stage to go, what am I doing? For the ones that don't completely ruin themselves. So when they've gone through all this and then you act controlling, or here's worse, is start interrogating about her, about a past, interrogating about exes in a way that's like, you're sending a signal that you're going to discard her if you don't like her answers. The first thing she'll experience is a massive amount of fear. Oh my God, he's gonna see that I'm not a good person. He's gonna see that I was this you know, a promiscuous person that's not worth this relationship. And if she sees you as alpha, man, that puts her in the worst state that you could think of. It attacks her worse than your jealousy instincts attacking, you know, you. And then from there, she'll get resentful and angry. I can't control what I did in the past. Maybe I made mistakes. I didn't know what it was doing. Why is he doing this to me? And then that can evolve to even a vindictiveness or breaking up with you because she thinks she sees it as abusive. And in some ways it is. It's actually kind of mentally and psychologically abusive to attack her in that way. We know that she needs to be responsible for her decisions, but she can't control what she's already done and the mistakes she's made any more than you can. And so what you're vetting for again is capability, not to find some girl and then beat her up over her past or beat her up over her current behaviors. That's drama that I wouldn't accept in any relationship. If I have to beat a girl up over her behaviors, I'm just not with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's too much work. It's too much work. You don't want to turn it into like a full-time job. I mean, you got enough shit to do if you're putting a dent in the universe. I just want to add that a little bit more because, women don't understand the implication of social media and appearance today, in the context that they use it in, because for millions of years, if a woman didn't have the approval of her tribe, of her peers, of the others in her little hunter gatherer, nomadic mover arounder sort of group, as we've operated far, far longer than we operate today in, you know, the agricultural society for the last 10,000 years, they would die. You know, they wouldn't be part of the community. They would be outcast, and they just would unlikely to survive. So that's, again, part of the mental firmware that women operate in, is they seek the approval and the validation of others in the community. The only difference now is in the past, for millions of years, it was 50 people in a tribe. Now it's anybody that has the same app that you log into, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, only whatever, you know. Anybody that has access to that same app can now give you validation and approval for what it is that you're doing. And the more promiscuous that you are as a female on these apps, looking for more validation, approval, the more likes, the more dopamine hits you get from doing what you're doing, which is part of your firmware. We're not wired to understand and use social media in the way that it's designed by its creators. Its creators actually engineered into social media components to give you the dopamine hits so that you get addicted to it. It actually preys on human nature to be addicted to the notifications, that the likes. Oh, what did they say? Oh, if I didn't get enough, let me delete that and repost it in a more sexier post. So you have to understand that you've got an uphill battle as a guy when you're dealing with women today, because they are adapted to seek the approval and validation of their peers for survival. The only difference now can be millions of people. You know, it can be millions of people and thirsty betas that will throw $47,000 a month at you for posting nudes of your squared off body that nobody really would care about 10 years ago.
Right. And so there's many of these women, probably over half, are not going to be, by the time they're 28, 29, 30, they're not going to be capable of having a pair bonded relationship. What that means is their neurochemicals are going to be so blunted that they can't bond with you. And that's, you vet that out during the plate spinning phase and you don't LTR those. The ones that you do, however, the solution is you create such a euphoric experience for them. Like if you handle them in the bedroom in such a way that they get the mat, like so much of a neurochemical hit, it's like crack, you know, like you become her crack, both sexually in and out.
Watch the broadcast that I did, I think two or three episodes back on Before the Train Wreck. It's called Unconditional Love in 16 Commandments. It's the 16 Commandments of Poon. If you can master those 16, you own her.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good episode, by the way. And so, yeah, I mean, it is, she was going to get this massive amount of neurochemical cocktail from the dopamine for pursuing you and attention prior to the sexual experience, to serotonin, oxytocin afterwards, that there is going to be no comparison. No amount of Instagram likes, no amount of outside attention is going to give her those neurochemical hits in the same way. If she has the ability to pair upon and you do that, she will be in your frame then at that point. And she will see the sexual marketplace for what it is, which is really kind of an empty place where there's just a lot of attention, right? And she'll see that an actual bonded experience with an alpha is worth it. That's how you overcome all of this stuff. And that's how you handle your own jealousy too, because if you know that you are creating this for her and her behavior is demonstrating that that is the case and she's in your frame, it doesn't matter who she slept with and it doesn't matter what else is out there, and her behavior will demonstrate that. You know, if you get a bad instinct, if you get like a bad feeling like this, something isn't right, there's a reason you have that. You want to investigate that stuff, not emotionally, but objectively. But other than that, though, this is how you overcome it, is if you're in that LTR experience, you create a peak experience for both you and her. Now, the other side is, I want to make this kind of last point, this is something that is sort of lost in these spaces, is doing the mental work. The reason why I named my channel Apex Mindset, I do hypnotherapy and EMDR and trauma therapy for dudes, is because what's going on up here can frame your behaviors, and we have to be able to get in the right headspace to handle the stuff. And alpha, who is outcome independent and who handles women really well, is in the right headspace, and we need to get there. When our jealousy instincts are on override and overactive, and we hear or get mentions of experiences she had in the past that makes us question, well, is she capable? That's actually traumatic, believe it or not. That hits a part of our centers those ideas and thoughts and memories get stored in trauma areas, because trauma is an area of your brain where you store stuff so that you avoid that damage later. You know what I mean? So I want to avoid this bad thing from happening, so I store this in a trauma center. So I'm going to try to fight it, overcome it, or run away from it if anything shows up like it. Well, because our jealousy instincts on override, we hear about, you know, whatever Tyrone Thunder slugging back in college or whatever, right? Whoa, man, that just gets stored in that trauma center. And so now we are like obsessing over it. It's in there. So you got to do trauma therapy and stuff and actually have that a part of your mental, just your part of your practice to handle these things that come up, whether it's bad breakup or whether it's actual traumatic things that happen in your life. But it's, this is including your own relationship. When things of this nature comes up that makes you question your alpha frame, you got to attack these things so you can then move through life fearlessly. Because that's what we're talking about here. These instincts are designed to give us warnings, but when they're overactive, they create an unnecessary fear. And fear, as we know, can't be compatible with an alpha frame. So do that mental work too, especially when the stuff crops up, especially if you're like in an LTR that you're really happy about, and get that mental alpha state back. You know what I mean?
All right, let me grab these other super chats we got here. So Anon says, you guys are a bit older. Girls under 30 today with the internet think they can all get a billionaire or celebrity. I have a news flash for you, because I've dated in all age ranges. It doesn't matter. There's women in their 40s and 50s that still think they can get a billionaire or a celebrity. Women are women. Hypergamy is hypergamy.
That's just what they say. Let me tell you this, though. I knew this. I learned this when I was running strippers back when I was a bit younger.
Tell them about your stripper runs.
Yeah, they still want to get laid. They still want to get laid by an alpha that's going to smash them and make them think they're almost going to die. And then they wake up and they're happy about it. That's what they want. So these are women, strippers are out for dudes' money. They have these fantasies about how they're going to get, you know, a guy like Rich Cooper or whatever, you know, is, you know, with all the money and the physique, you know what I mean? They're going to get rich to wife them up. You know, that's what these strippers want. Thank you very much. And so instead they meet a dirtbag like me and I'm slamming them somewhere because that is what they all have, the sexual desires, and they all want that from a guy they perceive as alpha. So what? These girls under 30, guess what? My target market is girls under 30, bro. All right? And so, and I tell you what.
Just be the best that she can get, man. You know, all that it is, yeah. is this guy the best that I can do? That's all it is.
Once you create a peak experience for her.
Your ROI is on you. It's not on chasing tail. Your ROI is on you because it pays off dividends throughout life.
You create a peak experience with her. It's like, what, billionaire? I would live in a box with you. I love you. These are the things you'll hear.
That happens.
Yeah, all the time. Yep.
We got a super chat here from our boy Jerry. Thanks for that, brother. Jerry. He says, my two favorite content creators. I love you guys in a platonic way. We love you too, man. If you're not subscribed to Paul's channel, so he's at Apex Mindset on YouTube. So just search for Apex Mindset. You'll find his channel. His videos are top tier. I was going to shout out to it at the end of the channel. So, Jerry, thanks for hopping in. He's also one of our brothers from the community. So, hey, you guys want to get in the community, the link's always pinned in the top comment. So, go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
I think Solutions was the last one. I got another, like, 20 minutes before I got to run to do the business tier. So, is there anything else that you wanted to cover, man?
I mean, that covers the most of it. We can take questions or answer different frame things. You know what I mean? I mean, some parts of this too, I think I should mention as far as management of this stuff and solutions. So I'll go through like a bunch of solutions here in order. We talked about some of the stuff, but, so one thing, the first thing I've listed is that this, to get that emotional control over the primal jealousy, that's really important. You know what I mean? And to recognize logically two things. One is you're not weak for having these feelings. These are instincts. Mm-hmm. So having these thoughts, ideas, even if they're almost out of control and you're obsessing about our past relationships or experiences or obsessing about, man, what is she doing? Like, what is she going to go do when she takes a vacation, you know, or whatever, that's normal. Actually, that's your jealousy instincts on overdrive. Don't let someone shame you into thinking that you're weak for having them. What would be weak is how your behavior afterwards, how you handle it. You know what I mean? And so you want to take patiently break down logically and methodically what's going on with this chick and what's going on with you. Even if you have to, here's a good technique or an activity I use with clients is I have them write their belief down without any judgment on it, what they think it is. It could be, you know, so Tyrone Thunderschlagen was definitely bigger, better than I was. There's no way she could blah, 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 right? So I have them write down that thought or idea. Then I have them challenge that idea. And they write down a series of those. And then the next column, they can challenge those ideas. How could that idea not be true, potentially? You know what I mean? So it's not to try to just negate something that could be true because maybe the idea that they had that's really bad and, you know, negative is a true idea. We don't know. But let's think of it in a different frame. How can we challenge that? You know? And then in the third column, look at objectively. So based on these two answers, what's really going on? Is it what I think with my primal instinct out of control? Possibly. Is it this negated statement, which negates what I originally thought? You know, was Tyrone Thunderschlagen really just a friend? You know, I don't know, right? And then we look at objectively what's really going on. What's her current behavior? Where do I stand? What data points, evidence do I have? If you can break those things down logically, you can assess these girls. Because what we're trying to do is assess, is she capable of seeing you as her best? that's it, right? If she's capable of seeing as your best, you can maintain frame, LTR as long as you want, have whatever you want, everything's wonderful, okay? If she can't see you as her best because of past experiences or current behaviors, incapability, then it'll never work, right? And so you want to break that stuff down. And then once you break that stuff down and you see, you can see if your jealous feelings are really just an out of control instinct that needs to be reframed in your brain through maybe EMDR trauma therapy, which is, again, something I do, but might have someone local in your area that does it. Hypnotherapy helps as well. If you need to do some of that mental work, even like meditation, journaling, there's all different ways to try to attack this problem and to try to reframe that instinct. You might have to do that. Usually it's going to be a mixture of both. You're going to see some red flags that are, okay, that's kind of reasonable. So that means I'm not putting a ring on it. I'm just going to wait it out 6 months, get through the honeymoon phase, see what's going on. But these other things here aren't really that objective. This is me a little bit out of control, me getting into existential despair where I think it's never going to work. You know, that's my primal instinct telling me to run away, even though where am I going to run to? Because every 30-year-old is still got the same access to the same Instagram and still has, you know, 20, 30 people they've slept with. So, you know what I mean? So where are you going to run off to, right? So you got to look at this stuff objectively. And that's some technique and tools that will help. Another thing, too, is to make sure you're showing up as the best. You ever wonder why these guys get these LTRs and they stop trying and they let their SMV go to crap? It's because of this existential despair. They know, like, it's almost like, why keep trying? You know what I mean? Deep down inside, they know, like, I don't even know why I'm going to keep trying. She's either going to stick with me or she's not. She's had better. She's probably going to go get better. And they let themselves go. They stop showing up and being that attractive person, you know? Well, that's a mistake, okay?
You can't relax in a relationship or a marriage.
Burn of performance is always on you, even if she sees you.
Always on.
Yeah.
She can get fat, gross, you know, quit her job, do nothing, sit at home and mope. You still have to chase excellence.
Right.
This family law will take care of her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So always be chasing excellence, be on your purpose in life and accomplishing that, but be managing your S&P too. You know, look at your wall. Every 6 months, I evaluate my wardrobe just because for fit and get rid of clothes that, you know, are trash. It's seasonal, right? I mean, do that stuff. Evaluate your look, your wardrobe. Be at the gym. Do combat sports, you know. Do things that will, you know, pay attention to how you look, how you show up, how you behave, your game. These are all things that add to your sexual market value. It's going to help you create that peak experience. You're not just doing it for her, you're doing it for you. If I am doing Bedroom Olympics and it is a Star Olympic event, all right, that's not just good for her, that's good for me. You know, if I do some really cool seduction game stuff where we surprise, we're going on this little day trip or doing this thing, creating an awesome experience, or even if it's just down to, you know, comes home from work and we just hang out a little bit and do something really chill, but she's having these great experiences, whether they're small experiences like on a daily, weekly basis, or whether they're these bigger things, that's fun for me. That's why I want to do that in an LTR. I don't want to do that with some random, you know, chick I met off the streets yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the reason for being in these situations. Guys always ask, why do an LTR? Well, that's why. You have better experiences. You have better sex, more peak experiences. If you run your LTR like me, you're really going to have better peak experiences. And so these are all the things that you don't want to let up on. You want to keep managing it. I think guys get into existential despair. Oh, it'll never work out. This is the extreme end of that is your MGTOW, your black pill types. And they stop trying. They stop doing stuff. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy now. Now it's self-fulfilling, right? Of course, the girl's not. It's just your turn now because you're not doing anything to manage it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that's really important too. And that's things you preach, Rich, all the time. You do a lot of talk about that.
Yeah. So it boils down to, gentlemen, chase excellence, not women. Your ROI is on you. I have a great video on my channel from many, many moons ago from back in the spring. And I distilled a study from, I can't remember the other guy's name, but Aceto and something other. You know what? Here, let me see if I can dig it up real quick, because I sent it to Aaron Cleary the other day because he's researching for his next book. And your chances of success in a long-term relationship after 7 years, meaning you're happily in love, is somewhere around 10%. It's really low. So, you know, chasing unicorns and love and all that sort of stuff is really not the best use of your time. Here it is. I'll copy and paste it in the chat so you guys can watch this later. Get open a new banner. But if you're watching the replay and that live chat doesn't pop up, just search on my channel for study exposes only 2% live in bliss after 8 years. So I think in the study it was 13% live in love, a state of love, after 8 years, and only 2% live in a state of obsession or bliss. So your ROI is on you. It's on putting your dent on the universe. It's not on, you know, mastering game protocol till you're upside down blue in the head, because you can be good at it, but at the end of the day, I'll still tell you guys over and over again, chase excellence, not women. The point of this broadcast today is to really talk about jealousy in an in-depth sort of way, in such a fashion that doesn't normally get covered, because Paul's really, I don't know how to put Paul. Like, how do I frame Paul? Like Paul's a deep dude, right? You know, if you give him a topic to talk about something, he'll go on for an hour on that topic and he still hasn't covered it all, right? So if you want long form useful content, definitely subscribe to Paul's channel. Definitely do that now.
I appreciate that, Rich.
So Apex Mindset, check it out. Before we go, I got to shout out real quick to my channel sponsor, because Grondike Soap's been a great supporter of my work on this channel for a while. There's the link, and I got to go full screen. So just up here over my shoulder, you always see it on the shelves. It's just all their products. They got these new sticks, which are basically almost like deodorant sticks. You just kind of like put them out. If you're using the soap, it's just a top-up. So leave the gym. It's the end of the day. You got a date coming up. You don't have time to take a shower. Just throw a little bit on, put it on your neck, your wrist, whatever. It's a nice little top up to their product line. So check that out. You can go to coopersoap.com right over here. If you check out with coupon code Cooper, you get 10% off. The link will always be pinned in the top comment. So hope you guys enjoyed the broadcast today. Make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell so you don't miss any broadcasts. I have a announcement, because this Thursday I'm doing a Playing to Win with my buddy Jay Campbell. And I did a post on Instagram the other day. I was talking about an injury that I had and some peptides that I was using, some massage therapy. So we're going to be doing a full broadcast on the healing benefits of peptides. This is the kind of shit you guys can use if you have injuries from sports, fighting at the dojo, lifting, whatever. It happens. I mean, you should be active as a guy. Self-care should be important to you. So check that one out for Thursday. It's going to be a good one. A lot of guys have sent me emails and messages asking me more. It's like, just watch the broadcast, guys. I don't have time to respond to everybody's DMs. Thank you for watching. We'll see you guys in the next broadcast. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Rich.